Don't miss the world's premier Christian Counseling Conference event, the 2025 AACC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops, so you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AACC United World Conference. See you in September.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our host, Zach Clinton.
Thanks, Jim. I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, fresh off commencement ceremonies here in Lynchburg, Virginia at Liberty University. And let me tell you something, it has been a very special week here for me as I got the opportunity of receiving my doctorate degree in counselor education and supervision. And I can honestly say that I could not have ever accomplished this without the love and support of my mom and my dad. So I just wanted to thank them both publicly. Truly, words could never express the love and gratitude that I have for you both. And my friends, I hope and pray that you are ready for a great weekend yourself, because today's broadcast is special as we take the time this weekend to celebrate the moms in our lives. Joining us is actually the mother of 7 children and grandmother of 5, Miss Heidi St. John. Heidi's a bold voice for moms and women in the Christian space, encouraging them to stand up for what they instinctively know is best for our children in today's culture. She's a popular speaker, author of books like Becoming Mom Strong, and host of the Heidi St. John podcast. Heidi's also a passionate homeschool advocate. She got in on the tail end of that pioneering movement and homeschooled all 7 of her children. Her heart for equipping moms to be who God has created them to be and think rationally will bless you. If you're a mom listening, thank you for all that you do, and happy Mother's Day. Now let's welcome Heidi St. John. Heidi, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
You know, as we begin, I love your passion, and I love the energy that you bring to everyday life, and also just the massive ministry voice and following that God has entrusted to you, Heidi, all built around affirming and empowering moms in the Lord. There's something about the hand that rocks the cradle. Up front here, Heidi, can you just give our listeners a little bit more about what you're doing, the ministry God has called you to, and maybe some of the opportunities that God has blessed you with over the years?
Yeah, well, I think that's the most important thing to know about me is that I never set out to be a voice for mothers. Yeah. I became a mother when I was in my early 20s, having married at the age of 19, came from a background of abuse and neglect. And the Lord has entrusted my husband and I with seven amazing kids, this woman who could not keep houseplants alive, right? And God was like, here you go, 7 kids for you. And now you're going to homeschool them. And that'll be the cherry on top. And my story is really a story of victory, and it's a story of overcoming. And I think that this generation of mothers needs to hear it. They need to know that no matter what they're facing in the culture, that there is a God who is able to sustain them, a God who is able to direct them. And the world might be in crisis, but God's people don't need to be. And so that has really been my passion and my voice. In 2017, I signed a 7-book deal with Tyndale, and I'm working my way through that now. 6 of those books have been written, and we are just thrilled with the opportunity that God's given us. I love talking to moms, and I think this generation of mothers are up against something that my generation, you know, previously, I have a 32-year-old daughter and a 13-year-old daughter. Wow. And I am raising my 13-year-old daughter in a much different world than my 32 and 30-year-old daughters were raised in. And so it requires that we change. We serve an unchanging God, but the culture is shifting underneath our feet. And I think it's important really just point families back to truth. And that's what I love to do. The only answer to a bold lie is bold truth. And so I've been proclaiming truth boldly on my podcast and through speaking now for about 20 years.
Well, we are grateful that you're courageously proclaiming bold truth to each and every one of us on a daily basis. As you mentioned, the world is ever changing. There's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of fear going on right now, Heidi. That seems to be the common theme or the thread in our culture and society today. That being said, you're on the front lines, like we just talked about, speaking into the lives of women, into the lives of mom on a daily basis. What are you seeing as you serve on the front lines?
Well, you just nailed it. I mean, it's a lot of fear. I mean, there are a lot of parents now who people are asking questions that 20 years ago, we would never have even conceived of thinking about. What is a woman, really? Are these questions that we're asking right now? Right. I remember about 8 or 9 years ago, I was speaking as a keynote speaker for the Indianapolis Homeschool Convention, and I started talking about transgenderism. And at that point, it was becoming prevalent, but it wasn't the everyday vernacular for most people there. And I think, you know, you kind of laughed it off. We thought this will not take root in the culture. And then you give it, you know, 24 months and all of a sudden this is in the headlines. Everyone's talking about it. Barack Obama is issuing, you know, mandates from his office in the White House. And the cultural landscape began to shift. And when you're not ready for it, it's very hard to find your footing. And so I think it's so important. And this is true in marriage. It's true with raising children. It's true in every sphere of the culture. Our job as believers is to point people back to the Word of God, which is a lamp to our feet, right? Yes. Even if we as parents don't know how to answer those questions right off the top of our head, we can say, you know what? That's a really great question. I'm not sure. Let's find out together. And you begin to know I can go back to the Word, because guess what? God already addresses these issues. They haven't changed. The tactics of the enemy have changed, but the truth has not changed. And I just think, boy, if these moms could really grasp the truth, they would be less afraid. My grandmother used to say to me, Heidi, you can do anything, just do it afraid. I think sometimes we think that speaking boldly or raising our children to be Christ followers in a post-Christian world is this really terrifying proposition, and that only the really courageous people can do it successfully. But that's not true. Most of the people I know, and I would probably imagine that you guys have experienced this, it's not that you're not afraid. It's that you trust that God is going to meet you on the other side of your fear and give you the courage that is necessary to do what he's asked you to do, right? It's the story of Esther. It's so many people that we read about in the Word of God who were faced with unimaginable circumstances, but the Lord of Heaven's armies did not change, and he met them where they were. And moms and dads today need to know that.
That really is the definition of sustaining grace, where God doesn't promise the absence, right, of pain in our lives, but he promises his presence in the midst of our pain. And I love that word from your grandmother where she said, you know what, you can do anything, just do it afraid, right? You don't have to wait until everything's perfect and hunky-dory to get something done. Heidi, there's a lot of moms, there's a lot of parents out there who have really turned toward homeschooling during this time. Obviously, since COVID, there was the lockdowns. There's what we've seen as the indoctrination within our educational systems, the LGBTQ plus push. I mean, so many different things that are making parents want to homeschool their kids, keep them within the four walls so that way they can influence them in a greater way. You are a homeschool advocate. You've homeschooled all 7 of your children all the way through high school. 6 of them have graduated. One of them's 13, just about to begin the high school journey. Come on, Heidi. Why did you choose the homeschool route?
You know, I like to tell people I didn't choose homeschooling. Homeschooling chose me. I was the mom who, you know, in the early 90s when I started having babies, we knew just a few people that homeschooled. I'd consider myself at the tail end of the pioneer movement of homeschoolers, you know, really standing on the shoulders of people like Mike Ferris, who paved the way for homeschool freedom here in the United States. And when the Lord really got a hold of my heart, my daughter was in a public school. So our oldest daughter, a 32-year-old, was in a public school in a little town in Oregon called Canby. And there were several things that I saw happen the year that she was in her second grade year. And the most important thing that happened was I saw what was happening between Savannah and myself and our younger children and the way that it was sort of messing with our family dynamic, right? We have this great family dynamic through the summertime and then school hits and she's on a school bus at 7:15 in the morning and they drop her off at 4:30 in the afternoon. And I witnessed her speaking unkindly to her little sister. So funny for me to talk about them this way now because they're 32 and 30 respectively, right? And they have children of their own. But I remembered watching Sierra being spoken to unkindly by her older sister. And it just galled me. And she was doing it because of all the kids that were waiting in line for the school bus. And they were kind of picking on Sierra, who'd walked her sister out to the school bus stop. And I thought, I don't like this. I don't like what it's doing to me. I grew up in a very dysfunctional home and I want my kids to love each other, even if I have to force them to do it. Right.
So I went
back into the house and pulled out of the garage in my little Ford Aerostar minivan, which if someone would have told me, I would have understood is the gateway drug to homeschooling. Just no one told me. So I have this, Ford Aerostar minivan and I pull out with my newborn son and my little 5-year-old daughter. And we follow that school bus. I followed it for 40 minutes through the back hills of Wilsonville, Oregon. And my daughter had come to the back of the bus, right? So she's staring at me from the back of the bus and I'm doing this. I see. I'm watching you. She knew, right? She knew. She was like, oops, like I just dissed my sister and my mom saw it. Like we can't have that. But as I was driving, following the school bus, I just heard this gentle nudge. It just brings me to tears. Because I never wanted to homeschool. I was the woman who was making fun of the homeschoolers. I was like, what woman in her right mind would want to stay home with her kids all day long when a yellow bus come take them away for free, right? And I can get a shower in relative peace and I can get my house could be clean and somebody else going to fix lunch for them. Why would anyone want to do that? And as I'm following the school bus, I heard the Lord say, this is why. This is why. Because it redeems what the school system takes from parents. And that is the most important thing we have in its time. And I'm here to just tell people you can pull your children out of these schools. And not only will you protect their hearts, you'll protect their minds. And both of those things go together.
So good, Heidi. But it also forces the question, right? What happens if there's a listener out there? Let's just say maybe it's a single mom who feels like she has to continually work to provide for her kids, right? What if it's a child who is pushing back on mom and dad and saying, I don't want to be homeschooled. Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's like, I want to go to school. I want to be with my friends, all of these things. What if they don't have the means or the money by which the funding to put their kids in a private Christian school? They have to put them in a public school. This causes more fear because it's again goes back to that idea of indoctrination. Who's investing in the life of my kid? What are they learning every single day? What's just some advice, some encouragement that you would offer that parent out there who's like, I want to homeschool, but I just feel like I can't right now?
Well, so two things. So this is going to be Heidi's like slap you upside the head and then I'll encourage you.
There we go.
But I'm going to push back a little bit because I get this question all the time.
Yep.
What did we learn in 2020? What did we learn in 2021? We learned that for a virus with a 99.9% survival rate, we would pull our children out of these schools.
Yeah.
We learned that. We learned that we could bring them home and they'd be okay. We learned that. And so when parents come up to me and they say, I just can't do that. I don't have the money. I'm a single mom. You know, we're two. Most of the time, and I realize that there are exceptions to this, right? I realize that there are situations, and I'll get to that, where people just absolutely cannot do it. But I think that those are the exception and not the rule. And we like our comfortable lives. And I homeschooled 7 children on a pastor's salary.
Yep.
There were years that we spent literally, right, applying for food stamps, getting, help for insurance for our kids, all those things. We did that so that we could stay home with our, so that I could stay home with our children. And there, it requires sacrifice. We don't like to talk about that.
That's right.
It's a very uncomfortable topic. Like, you want to do that? It's going to require something of you. It's not going to come to you. What I want parents to hear is your children are worth it. Yeah. And so if your children are in a public school, there's two things you need to do every single day. You need to pray with your kids and you need to debrief with your kids. Mm. You find out what is happening at that school.
Yes.
What is the curriculum that they're teaching the school? Are they having an LGBT Pride Day? Keep your kids home that day. Yep. Are they promoting books on transgenderism at school? You make your presence known at those school board meetings. You've got to show up. The days of us just sending our kids off on these, you know, yellow school buses and assuming that they're just learning reading, writing, and arithmetic are over.
They're over.
And for me, it was easier to take my kids out then track yes. all the teachers and all the and yes. all the innuendo and all the school friends that they were making and all the things. It was easier for me just to bring them home and do the hard work of keeping my kids with me than it was to try to keep up with what was happening at the schools. But either way, we know, we trust the Lord. When the Bible says, having done all, stand. My question for these parents, whether you're in a bad financial situation or you're coming from a bad marriage or whatever it is have you done all?
So good. And get involved. Be involved in your kids' lives. Be involved in their schooling. Be involved in every aspect of their life because, again, it matters and you care. And again, time is so, so precious. You know, my wife and I, Evelyn, we know how much of a blessing it is. We pray for kids. We can't wait for a family one day.
Wonderful.
But we live vicariously through our sisters. My sister, Megan, you met my brother-in-law, Ben. They have two beautiful daughters, our nieces, a five-year-old named Olivia and almost two-year-old named Sophia. Oh. They are like the golden eyes of our lives and our family. And so—
Oh, I know. I hear your dad talk about it all the time.
He talks about it all the time.
He never misses an opportunity.
That's right. But I remember hearing my sister, as she's raising these girls, she went to my dad and she went to Ben and I overheard her ask them, "Dad, honey, how do you think I'm doing?" Right? There's a lot of moms who want to know that they're doing well, but at the same time, they feel so stressed. They're spread thin. They're overstressed. They're angry, sad, frustrated, not appreciated, alone. Heidi, what's just a word of encouragement for a mom out there who feels like she's trying to do everything she possibly can, but she's just barely staying afloat?
Yeah, I've had so many of those days. Mm-hmm. When you can imagine, you know, raising seven children and homeschooling them and the pressures of that, life is hard. And moms need to know that bad days don't make bad moms.
Mm.
Bad days don't make bad moms. And we need to continually go back. There is so much power, Zach, in apologizing. God does amazing things when we can humble ourselves and say, "Ooh, I wish I would have done that better." Mm. You know, going back to my kids and saying, "Hey, I'm really sorry." And without qualifying it, you know, "I wouldn't have done X if you hadn't done this," right? Mm-hmm. But just go to your kids and say, "You know what? I didn't act like the grown-up in this relationship today. Mommy needs a timeout," right? Mommy needs a timeout. There was a moment and that I remember very, very clearly. I had always wanted to be like the fun mom.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to be like the house where all the kids wanted to come to.
Yeah.
I just didn't realize I was going to get older. I didn't realize I was going to get tired. I didn't realize that there was going to come a point when I was like, "You know what? Everybody just get out of my house."
Right.
I'm kind of, I had a newborn, which we always had newborns. I feel like I had newborns every 15 minutes for years and years of my life. And my teenagers were having the youth group over and I'd asked them to be quiet. And this had gone on for several minutes. And finally, like the fourth time going out there, I mean, it was like a scene from a horror movie. I was like, "Everyone just shut up." I screamed, "Shut up," at kids that I don't even know. I'm like the leader of the homeschool co-op, right? And I'm like, "Yeah, everybody be quiet," because I had this newborn baby and I just knew, you know, she's going to wake me up at 11 and she's going to get me up again at 2. And then I'm going to be up at 4 and y'all are going to be sleeping in, but I'm going to be crying,
right?
That's what's going to be happening. And I'm telling you, I scared these kids to death, right? So they were making cookies and the radio was playing in the kitchen and all that. And they just scurried downstairs. They're supposed to be having a fun night at the St. John's. Well, this was not a fun night at the St. John's. I'm sure they were all like, you know, "I wonder how quickly my parents could come and get me, rescue me from this terrible woman." And I went back and I got into bed and I looked, checked on the baby. She's still sleeping. And I looked at my husband. He was like, "How'd that go for you?" And I was like, "You too, be quiet. Everyone just needs to be quiet." And I just felt the Lord say, "Ooh, ouch." Mm. You know, if you can yell at your daughters in front of their friends, you can certainly go down and make it right in front of their friends.
Mm.
So I'll tell you what, I put on my bathrobe and my fuzzy bunny slippers and I went all the way downstairs and I knocked on the door and they were all like hiding, you know?
Come on. Yeah.
Keep in mind, I have like a 13-year-old and 11-year-old and they're just like, you know, mom just ruined their social life and gave them a bad reputation and exposed them as, you know, the weird family, all in like a space of 30 seconds. And I knocked on the door and I was like, "Hey, you know, I'm back." And I looked at my daughter, this just big brown eyes. And I said, Savannah, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. It was always my dream to have an air hockey table and a big screen TV and that you guys would want to come over here and bake cookies and watch movies and eat pizza together. And as it turns out, I suck at the whole thing, right? I thought I was going to be better at this than I actually am. Please forgive me. And I looked at all those kids in that room. They're like hiding under the couches now, you know, and not wanting to make eye contact with me. And I just said, guys, listen, I'm really sorry. Could you just keep this to yourselves? Like, maybe don't tell your parents that you saw this this side of me. And they were like, sure, Mrs. St. John, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And I look over in the corner and there's this young woman and she's probably 13, 14 years old, the oldest of seven children, homeschooled, whose parents are in the middle of a divorce. And she was crying. And now I feel terrible. Because I'm like, I've scared this child, right? I'm at my end. Zach, I'm tired. I'm sleep deprived. I'm thinking about all the stuff I have to do tomorrow. Now I've made a fool of myself. My kids are upset with me. And now this young girl is crying in my house. And I just went over to her. I said, sweetheart, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. And she looked at me, just tears streaming down her face. And she said, Miss Heidi, you don't understand. I'd give anything to hear my mom apologize just one time. Just one time. The ability to go to your kids and say, listen, I'm new here, right? I've never actually done this before. And I'm so sorry. And please forgive me. And I realized in that moment, that was why God said, go back and make it right. It wasn't so much for my children, although it was important. It was so that this young woman could see that there is a right way and a wrong way when we injure each other. And I think moms, instead of striving for perfection, let's just strive for the relationship that God gives us because it is so precious.
Absolutely. What a word. Bad days don't make bad moms. And what a charge and encouragement to moms out there to approach it with the spirit of humility.
Yeah.
Heidi, let me ask you this as we close. Where can we go to find out more about you, your writings, your books, your podcast, Off the Bench with Heidi St. John, which has been downloaded over 20 million times? I mean, come on. Where do people go to receive all the helpful information, but also to receive these invaluable resources?
You know, I'm lit up like a Christmas tree on the internet. I always tell people, don't believe everything you read. I ran for Congress in 2022. But they can find me at my website, HeidiStJohn.com. I have a women's Bible study that I run, and we have about 1,500, maybe to a couple thousand women that study God's word with me every month over there. It's called Faith That Speaks. And I ask these women, if your faith found its voice, what would God have you say?
Heidi, what an incredible ministry that God has called you to. Truly, I would challenge and encourage all of our listeners, go check out the invaluable resources. They're so hope-filled. And I truly believe they'll help you live a life of faith rather than living a life of fear. Heidi, on behalf of my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, and our entire team here at the AACC, we're so appreciate, again, the work God is doing in and through your life and ministry. We're grateful for the way that you live, lead, and love others well. We're praying for you every step of the way. Heidi, thank you for your time, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
I hope you enjoyed today's conversation with Heidi St. John. I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and on behalf of my dad and co-host, Dr. Tim Clinton, and from our family to yours, we just wanted to wish you a very happy Mother's Day weekend. Again, just really quickly, I want to give a special shout out to my own mom. Hey, Mom, I love you so much. Seriously, words could never express the amount of love and gratitude and appreciation I have in my heart for you. Megan and I are so proud to call you our mom. Seriously, when I say this, you are, in my opinion, the best mom in the world. And to my sister Megan, hey, what a joy it has been to watch you continue to step into motherhood and just to see the way in which you continue to pour out and invest in the lives of your own daughters, Olivia and Sophia. I'm so proud to call you my sister, and I love watching the way in which you mother those girls. And to everybody out there listening, again, I hope and pray that you would have a great weekend and that you would have a very meaningful and special Mother's Day. That being said, we hope to see you right back here next week on Life, Love, Faith, and Family.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit AACCFoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Don't miss the world's premier Christian counseling conference event, the 2025 AACC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops, so you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand today. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AECC United World Conference. See you in September.